If you have your Bibles this morning, you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We've been going through Matthew's Gospel. And this morning we come to chapter 24, and then we want to pick up where we left off last week. And I'd like to pick up at verse 23 this morning. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's sharing with them the events that are going to transpire and the things that are going to happen before he returns and establishes his kingdom on earth. That's the questions they'd asked him. What are the events that will occur and when will it happen? And so he's laying out for them things that are going to happen and occur. This morning I'd like to pick up, as I mentioned, verse 23. Then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and all show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, here he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand the great deception that you warned about and that would be coming prior to your return and your judgment that would fall upon those that have failed to give their hearts and lives to you. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, help us understand the truths that you would have for us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's really interesting to look at what Jesus is talking about in the first portion of the verses we read this morning, that many would come in his name, saying that they were the Christ, and that the deception would be great. So great, as a matter of fact, that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. In other words, those that were opened to understanding who he was, the deception would be so great that if it were possible, they could have been deceived. I want you to understand that deception is already in our world today. And Jesus warned about it, but not only Jesus. And this morning we're going to be looking at some verses out of Timothy's letters from Paul. Paul's letters to Timothy, rather. 1 and 2 Timothy. Also from some things that Peter wrote in his letters to the church as well. Dealing with the fact that deception was coming. And deception is already here. This last week I heard a little video of a young man who is involved with Antifa, and he was yelling at people who were coming to witness about Jesus. And to show you the depth of deception of people and how that they've been deceived into believing false narratives about what Christianity is, about who Jesus is, and really a different Jesus than what the Bible speaks of, He was yelling and screaming, saying that the people that would come with the gospel were didn't love people, didn't care about people, hated people, wanted to see people dead. And I'm thinking, as I'm listening to this young man, it's the exact opposite of what the gospel message is. But I want you to, if you would, just keep your finger in Matthew and turn with me just quickly to 1 Timothy. Timothy talks about, in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, some things that are going to happen as the Holy Spirit revealed these things to Timothy, and really expounding even upon what Jesus shared with the disciples. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourishing up the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And Paul is telling Timothy there needs to be a difference between you and what they're going to be coming from with these false narratives and false doctrine. And there should be a definite difference in the way that you live and way that you appear. And you should be seen as someone who shows forth the character of Christ and proclaims the truth of God's word. Now, turn with me to 2 Timothy, and I just want to look a little bit more about what Paul talks about is coming in the last days. Not only is it going to be false doctrine and speaking things that would be deceptive, but it's going to result in different attitudes. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, with all natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. And he goes on and talks about that the thing that we have to stand against that in verse 10 is, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purity, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And he talks about the fact that standing for truth and proclaiming God's character comes with a price, but the price is worth it. Because what is the opposite leads to death and destruction. And he gives the characteristics that you see of someone who is not walking with the Lord, but rather walking in this rebellious spirit of lies and deception. Now, as you read with me the first portion of chapter 3, and he's giving all the characteristics of those that are walking in rebellion against God and what their characteristics are like and what was going to happen in the last days. Is that the spirit that we see in our world today? And the answer is, yeah, you're seeing it on television every time you turn it on. Portland is at 100 days of rioting every night, of just total anarcho behavior, anarchy, and just horrendous behavior. And we see that, but Jesus isn't just talking about that, because that's the world. And we know that some of that behavior even existed when the Apostle Paul was going out showing his, doing his ministry, because as he said, he was persecuted because he brought the truth. And there were riots in some of the cities that Paul brought the gospel to because people did not want to hear the gospel message. And so we see that this spirit of this age has always been here, but what's different today? Well, there's two things different. Jesus told us one of the things in the Matthew chapter 24 that we're looking at. They're going to come in his name, but it's going to be a false Christ. And I want you to understand the stage has been set in our world to receive a false narrative and open up to a false Messiah, a false Christ. And as you look at what Jesus is talking about, he's saying that in the last days, they're going to come and they're going to try and deceive the Jewish people by saying that the Messiah is here. But they've already been trying to deceive, Satan's been trying to deceive the world already by saying the Messiah is here. And I just give you a couple ways that he's done that. First of all, there is Eastern mysticism which come to our nation. And one of the things of Eastern mysticism is they say that you need to have within you the Christ consciousness. In other words, that you can have the Christ spirit within you. And you gain this through meditation, through opening yourself up to really the occult. And they talk about that this Christ consciousness is really, they equate it to Christ. But it's a different Jesus. This is not the Christ of the Bible. This is the Christ of Eastern mysticism. This is demons possessing people and posing as Jesus and presenting themselves as Christ. There's a book, I believe we have a copy of it upstairs in the church library, called The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Michelson. Joanna Michelson was a woman who grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But grew up in the Roman Catholic Church and had never really been taught the gospel properly. And she got into Eastern mysticism and was introduced to looking within yourself. And how many of you have heard that that's where people need to really find peace, is to look within themselves to find all these answers to life. And a lot of our young people are being taught that same philosophy, that you look to yourself to find answers. You don't go to the Bible, you don't go to God, but you look to your own life. And one of the ways that you do that is through meditation. And so she did meditation, and she thought, she'd heard that some people had had bad experiences doing meditation, so she thought she'd be safe. She was going to make Jesus her spirit guide. He was going to be the one that was going to show her and enlighten her. It was through this meditation that she got deeper and deeper into the occult activity, and her family had always had experiences in that, and it only opened her up more to that. And finally, one day, there were those who were praying for her, her salvation, and God did something amazing. He opened up and allowed her to see this spirit guide that appeared to her as a real vision as she tried to meditate and visualize the spirit guide, and he appeared to her. All of a sudden, he took off his covering, this beautiful face that he had, and presented himself for what he was, a demon spirit. She was terrified. But he presented himself as Christ. There's other ways that our false Christs are presented, not just through meditation and yoga. In church, you realize there are false gospels being preached all the time. These are false Jesuses. These are presented as false Christs. Some are in churches that claim to be Bible-believing churches, but yet they don't believe the Bible. They present a different Jesus. There's a whole movement that is coming into the church, which is that there's universalism, that everybody's going to get saved, and that God won't send anybody to hell. They take away hell. They present a different Jesus. Jesus really didn't have to go to the cross because you're going to get saved anyway. And there's that teaching that's coming into the church, a different Jesus. In Roman Catholicism, the Pope just made some amazing statements, and they were on the internet, but like most amazing statements that are made, you can't find them now because they scrubbed them. But he said there's no hell. Pope said that. Made that statement, there's no hell. Yet the Bible tells us there's hell. And we're going to be getting and looking at that later on in chapter 25 and 26 when Jesus is talking about judgment. And the thing is, as you look at when he's talking about no hell, that's a different gospel. And also it's a different Jesus. When you begin to look at Roman Catholicism, Jesus didn't have a finished work on the cross. If you go to a Roman Catholic church, what will you see? You'll see Jesus hanging on a cross. You see a crucifix up in front. You won't see an empty cross. Like, for example, there's some crosses on our pews. They're empty crosses. Why? Because Jesus died, he was buried, and then he rose again from the dead. And there is no Christ having to go back to the cross again and again. Yet if you look at Roman Catholicism and their view of Christ, every Sunday, they do Mass more than just Sundays, but every time they hold a Mass, they have the priest calls down Jesus from heaven, and he takes on the form of the wafer and the form of the wine. They usually use wine, not grape juice like we do, but they take on the form of the wafer, and that's literally the literal body of Christ, the literal blood of Christ. You're taking in the literal body and blood of Christ, and every time that they celebrate Mass, Jesus is going to the cross again for you. That's a perpetual sacrifice. Jesus died once and for all. It's a different Jesus, a different gospel. And that's what they present to the world. Islam has a different Jesus. Did you know Islam has Jesus? They have Isa. He's a different Jesus. They say he's just a prophet. But he's a good prophet. And they say some things that kind of align themselves with what the Bible says. But then they stop and they say he's not the Son of God because Allah has no son. Well, my Bible tells me God has a son. And the son is Jesus. And that God and Jesus are one. They're both God. The God of the Isa, Jesus of the Muslims, is not God. And he's just a prophet. A different Jesus. Now I want you to understand, you've got all these different Jesuses coming around. And Jesus said in the last days that they were going to be that way. But it's even going to get more deceptive than that. In the last days, there are going to be those that would come and have powers, supernatural powers, and they're going to say, I'm the Jesus. We read a book about a man who was involved in deep involved in Hinduism and with some with Sai Baba, a Hindu guru, and he spoke of things that Sai Baba could do. Like he said, one day they ran out of gas, and so Sai Baba told him, go get some water and dump water into the gas tank. So they did that. He started up the car and drove away. He said he saw other miracles that this Sai Baba did. But guess what? We read of two men that did miracles in the face of Moses. Jannes and Jambres. Moses threw down Aaron's rod, and the rod became a snake. And then Moses picked it up, and it was a rod again. They did the same thing. They threw down their rods. They became snakes. Does that mean that they were of God? No, it meant Satan was doing supernatural works, and God was allowing him. But then the Lord told Moses, throw down your rod, and he threw down his rod again, and he ate up their rods. It was God showing that he was the true God, and they were false gods. You see, Satan can do certain things. God allows him to do that. Part of it's because men's hearts are so wicked that they desire wickedness so much, and they hate God so much, and they want to believe so much in the occult, in Satan, in wickedness, that God says, okay, I'll let you have it. And so he allows Satan a certain amount of things that he can do. And in the last days, there's going to be those that Satan's going to give his power to that will be able to do what appear to be miracles. But they're not miracles from God. They're miracles of deception to deceive people to keep them from God. And they're going to come and say, I'm coming in the name of Jesus. And he's saying, what? How do we know who to believe and what to believe? Paul told us. Our doctrine. And where do we get our doctrine from? The scripture. What does the scripture tell us? The scripture tells us, number one, who God is, right? The scriptures reveal to us God and his character. They reveal to us God and his purpose. They reveal to us God and the fact that who he is. Without the Bible, we wouldn't have the picture that we do of God. But secondly, it also shows where sin came from. Sin was not generated from God. God is holy and righteous and just. But the scriptures reveal us that sin came, really was first found in the heart of Satan. Where God gave him the ability to choose, and he chose that he wanted to worship himself rather than God. And he wanted to be God instead of worshiping God. And it reveals to us that that's where sin came from. And then he brought to man the same deception that he had deceived himself, self-delusion. Have you ever met anybody who was self-deluded? I met people like that. Sometimes I've been self-deluded. I thought I could be a professional baseball player. That was pretty self-deluded, you know. But you meet people like that, they think they can be something they can never be because they deluded themselves. Well, that's Satan. The great, he deluded himself, and then he came to man and he deluded, caused them to be deceived, caused Eve to be deceived, and tempted Adam, and Adam willfully chose to sin. The Bible reveals us that to us. It shows us that. Then it shows us who Jesus is. It shows us the real Jesus. It doesn't present multiple Jesuses. It doesn't present multiple ways to get saved. It presents one Jesus, one Christ, one Messiah, and one means of salvation. And it reveals to us that Jesus existed because he's God. It says, Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus himself, when he was standing before the Pharisees, remember earlier in the book of Matthew, one of the things that made the Pharisees so angry with Jesus, they were ready to pick up stones and stone him. He said, before Abraham was, I am. What that did was two things. Abraham existed hundreds of years before Jesus walked on the earth. That's when Abraham lived. So how could Jesus, who was a 30-year-old man at the time, have been known Abraham and walked with him? And secondly, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he took the name of God, I am, and said, I am. He declared himself to be God when he said that. I am that I am. That is God, the one of the names and one of the titles for God. And he proclaimed that before the Pharisees. And they got really angry because they knew exactly what he was saying. But it was true. And the scriptures reveal to us that he is God. And it shows to us that the only means that we can have salvation is to come through Jesus, and it has to be the right Jesus. It can't be a false Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Interesting. I am the way. There's no other way. I am the way. He didn't say I'm one of the ways. I am the way. The truth. There's no other truth. When you look and examine how we are to live and walk with the Lord, there is no other truth than what God reveals to us. You can't say like Hegel, well, let's take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and we'll combine it together and we can create a new way to live. No, we're to live according to the Word of God, according to God's standards, why He is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. There is not life apart from Christ. Now I want you to understand that. Everything that you see in this world is alive today because of the mercy of God. Even the rioters out in Portland possess life because of the mercy of God. The scriptures tell us that. They say all things are sustained or upheld by Him, by Jesus. Apart from Him, nothing would exist. Now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by whatever Christ you want to pick. No, by me, by the way, the truth, the life, Jesus Christ. And so the Bible shows us that there's only one Messiah. Now, why would Satan be so desirous to confuse people and present a whole bunch of different messiahs, a whole bunch of different Jesuses, a whole bunch of different ways to God? Esau and this Jesus and that Jesus and this Jesus. And look within yourself and find Jesus there. Because he wants to keep people away from the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And he wants to keep them from salvation. So as it grows closer to the end times, is deception going to grow greater or smaller? The Bible tells us, Jesus himself says it's going to grow greater. And the deception is going to be so great and so well laid out by Satan to deceive men, that the very elect could be deceived if it wasn't for the power of God's Spirit in their hearts and lives. So he tells us that in verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Or if he shall say, arise, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Then, verse 26, wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. It's interesting. What does that mean? Why would he say he's in the desert? You know, there's a whole movement. There was a whole movement that the only way you could find Jesus was to really become like a monk or a nun or go off into the desert. There's a whole deal in the church today that you need to believe what the desert fathers talked about. make it's almost like what they wrote has become greater than what the scriptures say. And it becomes a different Jesus. And there were also the Essenes that lived off in the desert at the time of Jesus. And they were very concerned about the last days. As a matter of fact, they studied a lot about the last days. They looked at the scriptures and what the scriptures said about the last days. They had their own writings about the last days. But he's saying, even if they would call you and say that Jesus is here, the Messiah is here, don't believe him. That's not where he's going to be found. Then there's an interesting one, because I alluded to it earlier and presented it earlier. He says, behold, if they say that he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Secret chambers. Secret chambers of your heart. If they say that the only way you can find Jesus is to look within yourself, within your heart. Isn't that kind of what Adam was told by Satan? Wow, you can be God. All I got to do is realize, be self-actualized and realize you can be God. He's saying, don't believe it. Don't believe it when they say he's there, he's here, he's everywhere. And I want to tell you, the greatest deception of all is going to come with the Antichrist at the end. And just about the whole world is going to be deceived by him. And why will they be? Because he's going to do things that no politician has ever done. He's going to bring absolute peace to the Middle East. You know, President Trump right now, he's got the United Arab Emirates signed a peace treaty with Israel. And Saudi Arabia says Israel can fly jets over their air territory. These are tremendous things that have happened. But is peace in the Middle East? I don't think so. United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia are making these deals with Israel because they're terrified of Iran. Because Iran came in and bombed Saudi Arabia's and United Arab Emirates' some of their oil fields. They have threatened them. They are beating the war drums against them. And so they also realize that Israel has got power that they don't have. At the same time, we've talked before, Turkey, Russia, and Iran are coming to the defense of Syria, and they're forming a coalition, and they are getting, the Bible tells us it's going to happen, everything's being put in place for them to attack Israel. And the Bible says it's going to happen. But when all of this stuff begins to happen, it's not going to be President Trump that comes and makes the big peace treaty, but there's coming a man that will. And I want to tell you, as you look at the events that are transpiring, and we're going to get into it a little bit more this afternoon, but if you look at the events that are transpiring in the world today, everything's being set up for that man by Satan. I want to tell you, the whole coronavirus thing, it's a real virus. I haven't done scientific studies. I've read a lot of articles. But personally, in my opinion, take it for what it's worth, I think the coronavirus was a real virus that was manipulated by the Chinese and doctored to make it more powerful. That's what I think. And I think it was purposely let go by the Chinese on the world for the purpose that it's done, to shut down the world economy. And I think there are forces greater than the Chinese that are behind all of that to get them to do that. Why would you want the world economy shut down? Why would you want the U.S. economy shut down? Why would you want world travel shut down? Why would you want people saying, you have to wear a mask? You can't come in here. You can't do that. You can't social. You got to keep distance apart. You got to do all these things. I believe it's to make it easier for a one world guy to come into power. To have a one world government, to have a one world economy, and to have a one world religion. And to have a one world Messiah that's not the real Messiah. And Jesus said in the last days, there are going to come Messiahs.
I've got the answers.
But then there's going to come one who's going to be the anti-Messiah. It's called the Antichrist in the scripture. That term has two meanings. One, it means against Jesus. He's against the Christ, and he is, because he is Satan's man. The other means is to take the place of the Christ. That's another term for anti, another meaning for anti. It means to take the place of. And that's exactly what Satan wants him to do, is take the place. He wants to have his own unholy trinity. He wants to have the false prophet, he wants to have the Antichrist, and he wants to have himself as God. The false trinity. The false prophet is just like the Holy Spirit, in that he would speak to people, convict people. The Antichrist would take the place of Jesus, and Satan would take the place of God. That's been Satan's desire ever since pride was found in his heart, as he was standing before the throne of God, worshiping the Lord. And it begins with false Christ. You see, you can't have people knowing the true Jesus, because then it's like when you go to the bank. Did you know how tellers are trained in the bank? They handle real money to get the feel of it. And then they give them false money so that they can feel the difference. Because it's got a different feel to the money. It's got a different look to the money. Even though the best counterfeit dollars that have been made, there is a difference, because they're not the same. How do you prevent from being deceived by the false Christ? Know the true Jesus. Know the true Jesus. And Jesus is saying, they're going to come, and the world's going to be just filled with these false ones, but that's so the world will never have a picture of the true one. So you got this kid yelling at Christians saying, you're this and you're that and you're that. And everything he's yelling is the exact opposite of what we are. Because he doesn't know the true Jesus, and he doesn't know what a Christian really is. And if you've got the whole world that believes in a false Jesus, they're not going to know, number one, who the true Jesus is. So when the Antichrist shows up, they're going to be easily deceived, because they never experienced the true Jesus. Now, Jesus said that those things were going to happen. And he goes on and he says that there's going to be all kinds of other signs, which we don't have time to get into all of that, but before he returns, you're going to see the things that are happening politically, economically, religiously in the world. You're going to see the events that transpired, but there's also going to be signs in the heavens. And part of the signs in the heavens are the impending judgment. And what's amazing, which we'll get into this afternoon, but it's amazing how people will see all of this, and instead of repenting, instead of crawling out to the true God, don't embrace Satan. They'll embrace the false Christ, and they'll embrace the false prophet, and they'll believe them. It's interesting to read through what Jesus said. The world is being set up right now for this to occur. It's been set up other times. I believe that Satan's always had his man. Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, they're all Antichrist spirits. He's always had a man ready, but never before have we begun to see other things fall in place like they're falling in place today. Never before have you seen the world economy. I mean, would you believe if I would have told you 2 years ago, in about 1 week, you're going to see every economy in the world shut down and everybody in the world just about wearing masks? Would you believe that? We've gone through the swine flu. We've gone through H1N1. We've gone through Ebola. We've gone through all AIDS. We've gone through all this. Never happened. But we got a Chinese virus, and all of a sudden, because there's a lot of other things happening behind the scenes. And God's allowing it because the day is drawing close. Jesus said, when you see these things, be prepared, for the end is near. We don't have anything to fear. We've got hope. We're going to have 1,000 years to rule and reign with Christ, and then we're going to have an eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. I don't know what's better than that, because I don't have to worry about walking in a dark alley in Minneapolis and getting mugged in the new heavens and the new earth. And even during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, I know that if something is done that is wrong, justice is going to be dealt with immediately, not like it is today, where there is no justice. So what do I have to worry about? And if I die before he comes, as Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So what threat were they to Paul when they came and threatened him? What threat were they to Peter when they threatened him? What threat should people be to us when they threaten us? Because we have hope. And hope is eternal, and it rests in Jesus, the true and the living Christ, not the false ones that are coming on the scene. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand this. Help us to seek to grasp what you said when you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You are the true and the living Christ, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world. And Father, help us to walk in your power, in your strength, proclaiming your truth. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.